Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. More women than ever are better educated, healthier, and more independent. Makes me feel really good to read that. But what would they do after retirement? A decade ago, that notion gave two women pause, and they founded the Transition Network. If you want to learn more about it, go to thetransitionnetwork.org. It's easy as that. Or you can listen to this program, because I have Betsy Worley, the executive director of the Transition Network. She was in town last night to help kick off the group's 2010 Columbus Coaching Group. She is a former corporate lawyer and then executive for J.P. Morgan Chase, and she's with us today. Thanks, Betsy.
It's great to be here, Ann.
And also Andrea Dowding, for 16 years worked for the Longaberger Company, the last four as vice president of sales until 2006. She helped develop many familiar pieces in the Longaberger line I was interested to read, and is the co-inventor of 27 U.S. patents. She now works to guide women executives and CEOs in their professional and leadership goals. Andrea has coached executives from Ohio Health, Wendy's International, the Longaberger Company, and Quintiles Transnational Corporation. Thanks for being with us.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Ian.
And then Patsy Deerhake is also with us. She is a wellness educator and coach. And before that, she was a workaholic, it sounds like, sleep-deprived workaholic and chocolateholic, focused on everyone but herself. And when she figured out how to turn around her life, she decided to help others as a coach do it as well. Thanks for being with us, Patsy.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You know, I what struck me in preparing for this was something that you wrote on your webpage, Patsy. You wrote, from growing up, we females internalize messages from our families that reinforce our roles as caregivers. In addition, we respond to expectations that we contribute financially by choosing a career. Additionally, we're exposed to media images of perfect homes, meals, families, etc. The resulting superwoman myth leads to women neglecting their health and wellness and lacking the time and energy to enjoy family relationships and then maybe even enjoy their own life.
Right. It's exhausting just to read that, isn't it?
It is. I had to keep changing my inflection so I didn't put everybody to sleep. But it is. It's a little stressful. but the good news is there's another transition after all the work is done. And Betsy, what is that?
Sure. Well, one of the factors of life is that we're all living a lot longer than we used to. We have lots of education and work experience. So when we get into our 50s and 60s, we may be ready to stop the career that we've had for a long time, but we have 20 productive years ahead of us. So that's a great time to say, what do I want to do next? And there's so many options for women at this stage of life.
It doesn't feel that you were talking a little earlier. There was a day when it was a new question to say, what do I want to be when I grow up as a woman or as a young girl? Now there's this new question of, what do I want to do when I retire? And it's not always an easy question to answer.
No, it's not. And in fact, we talked at our program last night about the fact that a lot of the women in the Transition Network are women who in the 60s were in the workplace saying, you know, the options I was presented were to be a nurse or a teacher, and that's just not enough. You know, there are way more options out there. So now fast forward to this, to the 21st century, and we're the women who are saying, you know, the traditional options about retirement of staying home or certainly volunteering just aren't enough, and there are way more options for us at this stage.
Or if you're going to volunteer, there are a lot of other ways to do it besides mm-hmm. I don't want to demean or diminish any kind of volunteer job, but anything kind of in an ancillary way. You can be a leader in volunteering. Andrea, you're apparently a classic example of someone who made a life change and made a transition toward the end of your career. What might have been perceived as an end of a career?
Absolutely. And I was not quite 50, but had a decision whether I wanted to step back into corporate life or start reinventing and transforming, because I knew that I want to work well into my 70s, probably never stop contributing, and work may look a little differently. So with three in college at the time.
Who's counting?
Yeah, yes, decided to transition. And it was exhilarating. Definitely took some strategy. Definitely took some soul searching. But one of the things that I find that, especially in transition, women sometimes don't do as well as they could is to take inventory of their strengths and really take full power of those strengths and feel confident that they can build on those strengths and transfer those skills to other passions and make money at it.
It's hard to figure out, look what I'm good at if I haven't been paid for it.
Exactly.
In the past, if it's not something that it's about, you know, someone else in my life, you know, raising kids. I mean, it's that nurturing thing that we do for other people. Maybe we don't do enough for ourselves. Patsy, what was your transition? From what to what?
My transition was working for a corporate health and wellness department in a large hospital system to starting my own business. So I started Wellness Within Reach. It's wellness education and wellness coaching, and I do individual and group coaching as well as the wellness education. And that was a big transition for me. I left a salary and benefits. I was not downsized. I did it by choice. Some people thought that was a little crazy in this economy.
But you did it on your terms by not waiting to be downsized.
Yes, I did. And the process I went through was very similar to what I use with coaching clients. I looked at what are my energizers? You know, what are the things that make me feel good? What are my exhausters? And then I looked at what's my support network. And I could not have done the transition that I accomplished in the last few months without a great support network.
It's just been in the last few months?
I started July the 1st.
Wow.
Yes, 2009.
And how's it going?
It's going great. I love it every day. It doesn't feel like work. And like I said, my friends have been so supportive. I have a lot of friends who are superwomen or recovering superwomen, which is what I call my target market. Most of the time,
a desirable place to be, apparently.
Yes, most of the time I'm in recovery, but sometimes I talk to my friends and I say, I think I'm having a relapse. I just recently blogged about that. And so my experience has been that my friends share so much, and I learn so much from my friends. And when I write copy for my website, many times I'll have a friend read it and say, does this resonate with you? Because I want to make sure that a lot of what I am presenting appeals to a group of women, that it's not just my perspective.
Betsy, why a network? Why do we need a network to do this? Why can't we just, you know, go with our friends?
Well, I think your friends are very important, and they are
a network, of course.
Yes, but right, and they're the people you start with, and your family. They know you well. But I think in making a transition of this kind, you also need some fresh perspectives. One of the people at last night's program came in and said, I'm a teacher, I've always been a teacher, and I really don't have any skills. I don't have any skills outside of this teaching. So by getting together with different women who can easily say, here's your skill set, let's talk about what you're interested in, here's how I approached a transition, it gives you fresh ideas, it gives you new energy, and it gives you a support network as you move forward.
If you just joined us, we're talking about the Transition Network. It's an organization that was established to help women make changes after maybe their careers have come to a certain point and they're ready to move on to something else. They're mostly in their 50s.
50s, 60s, and up.
50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. My guests are Betsy Worley. You just heard her speak. She's the Transition Network Executive Director, and also Andrea Dowding and Patsy Deerhake. They are both Transition Network members. Now, the chapter in Ohio just open up? Is this new, or has it been going on for a while?
The chapter is about a year and a half old, and we have really got some good programming that we've introduced this year. So much like Patsy said earlier, we've done some polling of our members. We've tried to resonate with most of the women that have attended. And I would say this year we are on a path to really present some really supportive strategies as well as some speakers that I think will resonate with most of our members.
Betsy, how big is the network now? What city? It sounds like it's in all the big cities now.
Yes. Well, from two women and then there are 10 friends, so from 12 women in a New York City living room in the year 2000, we've grown to have chapters in 9 cities across the country. So New York City, Washington, Philadelphia, Columbus, Chicago, Houston, and the Bay Area. So that's where our chapters are. We have 6,000 women in the organization across the country, and women in every state are involved with the Transition Network.
There's sort of a Bible that goes along with it. It's called Smart Women Don't Retire, They Break Free. What does that mean to you, Patsy, breaking free versus retiring?
What it means to me is I'm looking at going to the next phase of my life. And my husband and I have talked about this. It's not just a women's issue, but we've talked about the fact that it's hard for us to imagine a traditional retirement. So when I decided to start my own business, it wasn't about just working for myself. It was about breaking free. I did read this book, and it was about really looking at what I want in my next phase of life. So my plan was to really work to build this business over the next 2 years and then go to part-time. So my ideal is to build a business and then work about 3 days a week, and that's my next phase. And I think that that's the appeal of this book. It gives many, many options. It also looks at what do we get from work so that we can make sure that in whatever our next phase of life is, we can get those needs met.
You know, I think I was blessed because I wanted to be a journalist since I was in the third grade for no good reason, okay? There was no good reason, but it was a goal. I had the goal, and I stuck with it. A lot of people, though, that I met in college and beyond, they could never figure out what they wanted to do. I mean, aren't a lot of these questions something we ought to be asking and give people and children the freedom to ask of themselves when they're much younger?
Absolutely, and one of the programs I do is a program about your 50-year career. So most of us start working in our 20s, and since we're going to live to be 90, we may well be working into our 70s. So I think it's very important to, whatever you start out with in your career, to have other strands, to have hobbies, to have other interests, things that over time may become more important to you and may morph into the next act of your career.
I interviewed a local rabbi a couple months ago, and she was wonderful. She had been in the financial district in New York for years and very successful, and gave that up to become a rabbi. And I thought that was interesting that for so long it was such a dichotomy. It was such a contrast in character in a way. And it made me wonder, you know, what kind of messages are we given about where we ought to go and what we ought to do? Maybe it seems like such a departure from who we really are sometimes. Andrea?
Well, we have a blended family of six daughters. And one of the things that my transition has done in our family is to really open up dialogue, especially with the college-age girls, on helping them identify what's important to them, what they will be fulfilled doing, where their strengths are. It's really been a blessing because, as a result, it's created a little bit more focus on feeling fulfilled and what you have to contribute, as opposed to you've got to get a job and make a living.
Because maybe if you're doing something you actually love and feel good about, you'll be successful at it?
With some strategy. It's right. A combination of both, because okay. We've also had the discussion of how you feel safe financially and productive and how you plan accordingly. And so, for example, if you know you have a baseline job that you really enjoy, make sure that your life is also filled with some other things and avocations. My 21-year-old asked a really poignant question. She's in journalism and also loves photography. And the question was, how do you know which you keep as your avocation and it doesn't become a job, and which you choose as your vocation? And for a 21-year-old, that's a pretty poignant question. So I hope our younger people are beginning to ask those questions.
Yeah, we're going to have to take a quick break. We have a lot more questions to come and some callers, I think, too. If you'd like to speak with any of my guests today, give us a call at 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And a reminder, the website for the Transition Network is easy, thetransitionnetwork.org. We're going to take a quick break. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Good morning. You're listening to WOSU 820 NPR News. Get the latest information from WOSU the way you want it, daily, biweekly, or monthly. Go to wosu.org/email to sign up for one of our e-newsletters. And you can also hear more WOSU anytime at wosu.org. Listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher whenever you want with the online archive. Podcast new and archived shows from all the guests and topics. Podcast All Sides at wosu.org/allsides. 32 degrees in downtown Columbus. Scattered snow showers today. A daytime accumulation of less than half an inch. Snow showers tonight and a new snow accumulation of around an inch is possible. A low of 22 degrees tonight. and a chance of snow on Thursday as well. We could see another half an inch of accumulation and a high of 32 tomorrow. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about the Transition Network. It has a chapter in Ohio now for the past year and a half or so. My guests are Betsy Worley, the Transition Network Executive Director, and locally, Andrea Dowding and Patsy Deerhake, Transition Network members in Ohio. Doesn't this apply to men as well? I mean, don't men need to think about what to do after they retire just as much as women do, Andrea?
Oh, absolutely. We were just talking at the break that men absolutely have some of the same issues. In retrospect, and again, being very respectful of men, they haven't had to balance as much. They haven't had to turn on a dime and maybe not take as much risk in their careers.
This generation of retirees, right. As much as maybe the next one coming up does
exactly.
A little bit more. And yeah.
Exactly. So sometimes they're not as apt to be able to pick up and choose different options and make that change as quickly.
But it's an emotional thing for them. It's hard. But they seem you hear stories all the time about, you know, the guy who retires and he's bored stiff and he just kind of hangs around at home. And it's kind of sad. I mean, shouldn't there be a chapter for the guys out there?
Well, when the Transition Network was founded, the founders certainly thought about would it be for men and women. And they thought about a couple of things. One, as I said, was we're the first generation of women to have work as such a big part of our identity and then to move beyond that. And second was that women really tackle their problems differently. And a big way that women tackle their problems is to talk to people and talk to their peers. And I think women are extremely comfortable having just a woman who sat next to them say something and say, you know, that really helped me. And I think men, generality, are not so much out there talking to their peers and getting ideas.
Is there a difference between the way women relate to practically total strangers and are able to start interacting in a different way than maybe men are? Is there a difference there? Because you have to be able to do that if you're going to form a network.
Definitely. And last night's program was a great example. So we had about 40 people. And at the end, after some remarks from me and from a panel, we got people into groups. And the women immediately started sharing what was happening in their lives, why they had come, what they were concerned about, what they were happy about. And that happens over and over. And so we know that women just love to get together and share and learn from each other.
Well, we're going to take a few calls right now, and after that, let's talk about a little bit about what you do at the meetings and the different kind of programs you have. Right now, Nancy, you're on the air. Hi, Nancy.
Oh, hi. I have a question for Patsy. Patsy, since you've made such a major transition recently, I just wondered what advice you'd like to give or have to give to other women who are looking to make some kind of significant life transition.
Sure. Thanks, Nancy. As I started to mention earlier, one of the processes I went through and a process I use with superwomen when I'm doing my coaching is to really look at what your energizers are. You know, where do you want to put your time and energy? You know, what feeds your soul? And then look at what are the exhausters? What is it that you don't want to do? You know, what are the things, you know, sometimes it's even shoulds. It starts out being okay, but then it starts being a should, and we really don't look forward to those things. And as I mentioned, also looking at your support network. And depending upon the age of the woman, I find that often women who are juggling everything at once don't rely on their support network. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easier to do it ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so looking at that, and also how do we get in the way of ourselves? You know, how do we sabotage ourselves? Because we have to work through those things before we can even set some initial goals.
That help, Nancy?
Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
That's
for your
great.
Call. And Mary, you're on the air. Hi, Mary.
Well, good morning. I was wondering, how do you get involved with the local chapter?
Anybody like to jump in? Andrea?
Absolutely. Pat Snyder is our chapter president, and we have a website that you can go to and link on to the chapter.
I don't know, Patsy, the one I've mentioned, the transitionnetwork.org?
Okay. It is. And we have a monthly newsletter, and we have monthly meetings. The next meeting is Monday, March 22nd, and it's at the Quiet Space, which is on Bush Boulevard, and it starts at 6 o'clock.
What do you do at your meetings, Andrea? Thanks, Mary.
Mm-hmm. We usually have a programming element, or as Betsy said, sometimes there's networking, but we've got a pretty solid program in the month of March, April, May, and June, and it's all about how to have a successful stress-free transition. So usually there's a speaker or a series of speakers, and then we give plenty of time to have breakout sessions to have some discussion. And as Patsy said, expand our community of network. That's really important.
Anything else you'd like to add to the programming? Is that pretty typical, Betsy? Or
yes, and I think there's a series, excuse me, that the chapter has set up. So looking at three aspects of transition, one is time management. So the program in June is about knowing when to say yes and when to say no, a little bit to Patsy's point. Another is finances. And so, are you where you want to be with your finances? If not, how do you move in that direction? And what mental challenges are holding you back? And then the third is building a network and support. So part of that is branding, and part of that is online, and part of that will be in-person networking. So it's a package really designed to look at different aspects of transition that will help you be successful.
Do you ever have people show up that really have never considered what else they would like to do and are just so stuck? You're nodding. You're all nodding. Give me some examples.
We had a person last night, and I don't know the exact situation she was in when she retired, but she retired completely without much preparation, and she expressed the fact that she was just feeling completely lost. She did not know what to do. Her career had given her a lot of structure, and she felt that she did not know what to do without an outside entity basically structuring her day. So she was a guest at our meeting, and we're hoping that she will join. But we run the gamut, and that's one end of the continuum.
That I just don't know what I want to do, and how do I even start asking those questions? There's mm-hmm. a list, isn't there, in the book?
Yes.
I think I can't remember the page number now, but I think on 135. Yeah, on page 135, there's a list. It's called "What Is Your Dream."
That's right.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
What are the? It reminded me of like a bucket list, you know, from the movie, the bucket list.
Yes.
What do you want to do before you die? Kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of things are on it? You know, would someone put on it, Betsy?
Well, it certainly could be. Different kinds of volunteer work. For instance, people would like to go overseas and get involved with volunteer programs. It could be doing something with kids. I think many of our members want to get involved with the next generation and are looking at how they could do that. In some cases, and a great thing I'm seeing more and more, is people saying, I have a dream about a business that I want to start. And so I'm seeing more and more members who are going into their own businesses, not because they're fleeing from having an outside boss, but because they're saying, I have this passion that I want to follow. In some cases, it could be as simple as, you know, now is a time I really want to get fit. I want to join a book club. I'd like to go back to some creative things like playing the piano or artwork. So those are all possibilities. And I think by talking to some new people, it can stimulate ideas for you.
Andrea, what was on your what is your dream list? Do you remember, or did you even do one?
I actually wanted to be able to work from home and be able to work at the beach 3 months in the summer. That's
okay.
How I chose. Have kids come in and out, which, again, you start with where you want to be, as Patsy said, and then you take an honest look. A lot of the women that I work with, you take an honest look at what your strengths are fearlessly and really claim those strengths. And then you fearlessly look at maybe where some gaps are. And when you have a support or a community around you, those gaps aren't so glaring because you could ask other people for help. And once you learn to ask other women for help, those gaps become increasingly less. And When I started the business from home, people laughed because I was very poor on the computer. So the fact of me working virtually.
Laughing with you. Because
I could hardly cut and paste. Right. So people said, you're what, working from home? But
Well, I come from the era when I know what cut and paste really means. But you learned.
But you absolutely took classes and was the oldest person in the class, but had other women that had gone before me to do that. So, again, that community of support is pivotal to be able to kind of reach some of your dreams.
You know, Patsy, I was interested because your change started very internally first. It was about your own, you know, physical body and how you were taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that and how that occurred.
Well, for me, I think that I was always doing things for others. You know, I had a to-do list that was endless. And so I would have fun or I would take care of me when I got to the bottom of the to-do list. Well, it never happened. So finally, I took a summer off when my son was young, and which is amazing because I took a week off when we adopted him. So I guess I was a workaholic in hindsight. But I took a summer off and just changed directions. It wasn't a career change. And he was on a swim team, which was walking distance from our house. And I would walk. I started with just a couple of miles. But by the end of the summer, I walked 5 miles each time he was at his swim team. And so from there, you know, when you are more active, you feel like eating better. And, you know, one change snowballs into another change. And so it's just one change at a time.
And you thought, gee, this worked for me. I'd like to help other people do it.
Right.
And that's kind of what you do.
Right.
Is just help people on an individual level figure out how to be healthier.
Right. And my background is in counseling before I went into wellness coaching. And I saw with counseling that a lot of people don't need to be on medications. There are people that have moderate to severe depression or anxiety that need medication. But the research shows that with exercise, which can be as simple as walking, people with mild to moderate depression don't necessarily need to be on medication. So I'm not a quick fix kind of person. I'm take one step at a time and move forward gradually and make a long-term lifestyle change.
We have an email now. If you would like to email us, go to allsides@wosu.org. You can also call us, 614-292-8513. The email is from Linda. She writes, I think that if your kids are raised, women should get a divorce at 50 and become like Nike. Just do it. At this time in their lives, they have probably never had the opportunity to be just themselves. They have spent their lives being daughters, wives, and mothers. They haven't ever been Betty or Jane or Jennifer. Simple things such as pick a wall color or carpet or fix dinner without consulting someone else. I have been married and divorced, and I recommend both.
Okay.
For some people, that might be the transition they need to make. And does stuff like that ever happen where people surprise themselves and maybe do something which might appear drastic in one point but later on seems logical?
Well, I'll tell you a great story. One of the Transition Network members in New York City, her transition started with an unfortunate experience, which was that she and her husband lived in Florida. Her husband came home and said, I want a divorce. And they had kids. They had been married 30 years. So that was the beginning. And so they got through the divorce, sold the house, and she decided that she wanted to move to New York City. She had always wanted to live there. But she also describes a period where she's driving from Florida up to New York, and she said, I realized I was singing because suddenly I felt so free. So she moved to New York. She lost 40 pounds. She got her hair cut. She dated 30 guys on, you know, Match.com, met a great guy, and another part of the story that I think is very relevant. So she was a teacher. She had a pension. When she moved to New York, she said, you know, I can't do what I need to do on this what I want to do on this pension. So she has put together a couple of part-time jobs to give her the play money to supplement the pension and totally turned her life around at age, you know, late 50s.
And so for her, that's what that meant, a couple of part-time jobs to supplement her pension. Mm-hmm. It didn't necessarily mean a big, huge career change or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's really different for different people.
Yes.
I how do you know when it's time for a change? How does someone know? Yeah, Patsy?
I will say something that happened to me. I was dissatisfied working in the bureaucracy that I worked in, but I hadn't considered other options. And I kept trying different things. And I would look for creative projects. And I trained dietitians how to use a coaching approach, and nurses, and exercise physiologists. Any coaching I could do, I was doing it within that system. But on my 20-mile commute home each night, I found myself every evening asking, what do I want? And that was a key to me. You know, when I did that 2 weeks in a row, you know, it was like a wake-up call. What do I want? Obviously, what I was doing during the day was not meeting my needs.
Betsy, how about you? How did it feel for you?
Well, I had a similar situation to Patsy. So I was working at J.P. Morgan Chase, which was a fascinating, wonderful job. But I was on a project that came to an end. I had the opportunity to either find the next job or take a severance package. And as I looked at different jobs, the next job I might take, I thought, you know, this just feels like more of the same thing. I'm turning 50, and it's time to make that break. So for me, it was internal. I think for a lot of people, certainly it can be an external signal as well. I mean, you might get laid off.
Sure.
There could be health issues for you or a family member. So I think in Patsy's, in my case, and well, we had the opportunity to think about it and plan. I think other people get thrown into a transition, and that can be a lot tougher.
It can be a lot tougher, but it is interesting. There are a lot of people getting thrown into that, and it can force change. But a lot of people say that it was the best thing that ever happened to them when they've been laid off. And I don't want to make light or diminish the struggles that people have right now. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're talking about the Transition Network. If you would like to talk about it, give us a call at 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
The next Fresh Air, Jeremy Renner talks about his Oscar-nominated performance in the Oscar-nominated film The Hurt Locker. And we hear from Ewan McGregor. He played the Jedi Knight Obi-Wan Kenobi in three Star Wars films, portrayed a heroin addict in Trainspotting, sang in Moulin Rouge, and plays a ghostwriter in the new thriller by Roman Polanski. Join us.
Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. And be sure to catch ArtZine, Columbus's monthly art show, anytime online at wosu.org/artzine. On this month's show, see an exclusive interview with Andre Watts and his work with the Columbus Symphony Orchestra. Go behind the scenes of a new exhibit at the OSU Urban Arts Space, showcasing 50 of the most intricate and colorful penny scales. And find out about a new film series at the Wexner Center about efficiency in the food industry. ArtZine gives you a firsthand look at the arts in action in Columbus. It's online at wosu.org/artzine. 32 degrees in downtown Columbus, scattered snow showers today, an accumulation of less than half an inch, and a high of 35. Snow showers likely tonight, an accumulation of less than an inch, and a low of 22 degrees. A few snow showers on Thursday as well, a light dusting of snow, and cloudy skies for Thursday, with a high of 32. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on WOSU 820.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about the Transition Network with Betsy Worley, the executive director of the organization. It's in, did you say six or eight cities?
Nine. Yes.
Neither. Mm-hmm. So much for me guessing. And also Andrea Dowding and Patsy Deerhake. They are both, all three of them, in the studio with me now. If you'd like to speak with any of them, give me a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. And, of course, we're certainly interested in your story of transition. If you have a good one, feel free to share it. There's a chapter in the book. It's called Why Is My Partner Driving Me Crazy? And what's that all about? Betsy?
Well, as we think about where would I like to go next, in some cases it can be a fairly radical shift. Actually, Patsy has a great story about convincing her husband, who's an MBA, that leaving a paid salary job and going out on her own was a good thing. So as you are moving, your partner, your family usually aren't moving in the same direction. So there can be friction as you start to move, and they're saying, hey, what's that about? I like the person that you were. So I think it's extremely important to be conscious of that, to start the conversation, and to make sure that you're setting expectations and continue to talk to each other as you move ahead.
Patsy, what happened to you? You're still married.
Yes, still married. 36 years, actually. I was continuing to work at that bureaucracy and starting to put my business together. And I thought I could work full-time and put the business together part-time. And it really wasn't working. I talked about energizers and exhausters. For me, staying in that position was a huge exhauster. So I sat down with my husband, who makes decisions with his head. I make mine with my heart. And I told him how I thought this would impact us financially. I did try to speak his language a bit. And I talked with him about why I was so excited about doing this and the negatives that I was leaving behind, that it wasn't just leaving negatives. There were a lot of positives. And I also told him, no pressure. We don't have to have a decision today. I just want you to think about it. But I told him, I will not do this unless you're on board with it. I can't do it unless you're on board with it. He made a decision on the spot. This was a Saturday. He said, turn your letter in on Monday. So I immediately called my best friend and said, guess what I'm doing? And, you know, she knew my plan. And I said, he gets a free pass for the rest of his life. I can never talk badly about him again. She thought that was a little bit much. She didn't think it quite deserved a free pass, but I did.
Is that pretty typical, Betsy, or is it more of a not so typical?
I think that's somewhat exceptional, I think it can happen a lot, and with preparation. I mean, part of what you're hearing from Patsy is she knew what her husband's questions would be. She knew how to have a constructive conversation. And in this case, it was a quick decision. Often it's over a longer time. One of the stories in Smart Women Don't Retire is about a couple who they were both 6 months from their planned retirement. And so they started talking about it, and the husband came home and said, you know, oh, I found a cabin in the woods that is just going to be perfect for us. And the wife had come home with a lot of travel brochures and organizations she wanted to get involved with. So they looked each other in the eye and said, you know, maybe we need to postpone our retirement for another year because we really need to figure out how this can be our retirement and not just now we're going in totally different directions.
You know, kind of the whole word retirement sort of a distraction in the process, isn't it?
It is.
I think so.
Yeah. And
what would you call it?
Well, a lot of people have called it a lot of different things. Actually, one of the terrific books on this phase of life is by Jerry Sedler and Rick Miners called Don't Retire, Rewire.
Uh-huh.
So this idea of plugging into new energy and figuring out what's next, and they have a great chapter on what drives you. So rewiring is one term. There are others. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think retirement is the word that's stuck. So we need to change what people think of when you say retirement.
Okay. If you'd like to talk about this, give us a call, 614-292-8513. And Diane, you're on the air.
Yes, I wonder if the women could spend a few minutes talking about the difference between a woman who chooses to leave an organization and someone who is downsized.
Andrea?
Hi, Diane. I'll be happy to. I was actually downsized and had a decision to make whether I would go back to a corporate job and had been in a corporate setting for 17 years or whether I would strike out on my own and again with three in college. And luckily had a little bit of a runway to be able to make that decision. but nonetheless, I had to be very deliberate in what I was looking for and very clear with myself. So I basically started, much as Patsy said, I basically started with what I called my fence posts, what was negotiable and what was non-negotiable, and came up with about 5 value statements that would guide my decision making. And they were high-level value statements like, I want flexibility for my family. I want to be in a continuous learning environment. I want to enrich the lives of women. So I came up with 5 of those statements and then started moving from there into looking at a traditional job or a non-traditional job, and allowed myself a little bit of time and a lot of conversation. The conversations were really important. Who did I want to talk to? Where did I want to learn? What conversations did I want to have? That became almost a full-time job in itself, mapping out the strategy for really what I called tasting and testing. As a result, I ended up going from a corner boardroom office to what I called my laundry room office, where I had to hit the spin cycle and stop the washing machine when I did conference calls. But it's grown into a 6-figure plus business in 3 years in this economy. So being very clear with yourself really helps. And starting with the things that are most precious to you, your values.
Tell us what you do and how you do it.
I am an executive coach. I work with women, and I'm also helping Debbie Phillips, who's been a guest on the show, build an organization that supports women. And it's much like the Transition Network, and we believe that every woman needs a support system. So in my individual coaching, I work with all types of women, and by the way, have started working with some college students. So
wow.
Love that. Absolutely love that, where their parents have hired me to work with them to answer some of these questions early in their life. But work with women typically in transition, whether it's transition from a corporate role to another corporate role, or transition especially from a corporate role to a business, and put them in touch with resources, as well as do the pragmatic approach, as well as do the vision approach with what's most important to them. And then how can we fast forward with other women, give them some resources so that they can build and make money quickly? Because many people have to be safe financially. Those are realities of transition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Betsy.
I was also thinking about Diane's question, and I think one of the realities of life is that sometimes you need to go on to the next corporate job.
Sometimes.
And I think part of the message of Smart Women Don't Retire is that even if you do need to go to the next corporate job and keep earning a salary and having the benefits, this can be a time when you start to lay the foundation for something you might want to do 5 to 10 years from now. Again, whether it's learning to play the piano, whether it's taking up art that was a hobby, whether it's volunteering or getting on boards if you're interested in moving to the nonprofit sector. So don't think it's an either-or equation. It can be both.
And like you said, you can move on to another job, but another thing you can be doing is just asking the questions.
Yes.
And talking with yourself and your friends and your support group, support network about what the answers are. That's something sometimes you just don't free yourself to do. We have another email. It is from Debbie. She asks, do your guests know anything about free classes, non-credit or degree at OSU for people over 60? I believe I saw something about that at the library. And I don't know if you all know anything about something like that specifically, but the issue of continuing education probably is a pretty valid option for a lot of people.
Yes, it is. I don't know specifically about OSU, but I think a couple of things. One is that a lot of people are looking to transition to a new career. I mean, there's a concept of encore careers where someone goes to work in the public sector for government or for a nonprofit. And a lot of people need retraining. So health is an area where there are a lot of jobs, education, so people can go back and get teaching certificates if they have subject matter expertise. And more community colleges especially are looking at the over 50 group of people to help them transition to a new career at this stage of life. And then I think the other side is just staying stimulated and enrolling in courses that fulfill other interests in your life.
and feeling free to do that. We have another email from a listener. You've had an opportunity to meet with chapters around the country. How do the women in Columbus who are transitioning compare to others in chapters around the country? Any differences?
The women in Columbus are very entrepreneurial, and that's exciting to see. Many of them have been through multiple transitions, so I think they bring a lot of experience and a lot of richness to the conversations, and as other people join, they'll be able to benefit. The other thing that struck me the most, we did a member survey last fall. One of the questions was, what do you think is the best thing about being over 50? So we had a list of questions. And in the Columbus chapter, 100% of the women said, I have wisdom from my life experiences. So I thought that was superb.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. I wonder how things have changed, though, too, not just in terms of place, but over time, how, what the founders have seen in terms of, you know, how women respond to this sort of thing. How long have you been with the organization now, Betsy?
I joined 5 years ago.
Have you seen any changes over time?
I have. I think one of the changes is that when the organization was founded, the group of people who founded it were thinking primarily about leaving paid work. So that was, and certainly there's still a group of people in that position for many reasons, teachers, government people who have pensions. But what we see more and more is that women coming in are looking to continue working in some way. I think Patsy and Andrea are great examples of people who are really changing what they're doing. Others are going into consulting. So we're seeing really a broader spectrum of all the options at this stage of life.
Why is a career after retirement different from any other? How do you define that jumping off point to that? What defines that? There could be people, in other words, going through this and not even thinking about it. They just do it naturally.
Mm-hmm. Patsy? I can say something about that for myself. For me, I don't have the financial pressures that I had at a younger age and a different stage of my life. And so I can be freer in choosing what I want to do. And one of the things that actually held me back is I have a 25-year-old son who is working two part-time jobs and is not completely financially independent. His choice, because he's the vocalist in a heavy metal band and he's toured 4 times in the past year, and he doesn't want to be tied down to a full-time job. And when I was sorting out what were the things that kept me from making this move, one of those was my son's need for some financial support. And I finally decided that, you know, he's doing what he wants to do. It's time for me to do what I want to do. And so that was really an aha moment for me. That was probably the last hurdle other than talking to my husband, because I really processed that prior to talking to my husband about my choice.
You felt like you needed to stay very stable financially
exactly.
In case he fell apart.
Exactly.
And you just freed yourself of that burden.
Right. And he's done great.
Yeah, they surprise you, don't you?
Yes.
You know, we hear a lot about ageism, and we hear about how hard it is to get a job when you're over 50 and that kind of a thing. How does that play into all of this? Because it doesn't seem to be an issue. Is it because so much of it is entrepreneurial and not depending on someone else to hire you? Or
I think ageism is certainly an issue, especially for people who are looking to be employed by someone else. One of the things I think people need to do is to shift their thinking. Many of us came from large corporations, and I think for most older people, you're not going to get hired by a large corporation. They're looking for a square peg for their square hole. But small and mid-sized organizations know that they need people to come in who have a breadth of experience, who are flexible, who have great communication skills. So I think people need to be thinking differently about who's going to employ them, and sometimes even creating a job, saying to someone, you know, what you really need a marketing person. You really need, this is something you need, and I can bring that to you. So ageism exists, but experience can be extremely attractive to the right organization.
I suppose, especially in a down economy in a way, right? in a way, when you're trying to be efficient and make sure you're getting the best and the strongest people. We have another email. Is it ready yet? No. 1 minute. Okay, here it is. Columbus, it's from a listener. It says, Columbus State has free classes for those over 60, and the OSU program is called Program 60, and you can search for it at Google or by going to OSU's website. OSU has a fabulous website, so just Google over 60 and OSU maybe. So Columbus State has free classes for those over 60. Boy, that's nice to know.
Well, and the one thing I found, Anne, when I was transitioning was when I was at the corporate role and working, you know, 60, 70 hours a week, I didn't really have the time or the energy to see what was available. And once you take a look or are dedicated to say, I want to see what resources are available, there's so much available in Columbus.
When I was reading about the transition, well, the Transition Network, it's the whole, the word. I mean, it's a series of transitions. It's not one big jump then, is what you're talking about, Andrea. How do you coach people, Betsy, and how, you know, probably you do the same thing in your job, and actually, Patsy, you do the same thing in yours as far as taking it one step at a time. How does that work? Because some people, especially ambitious people, want to just have it all now.
I'll go.
Patsy?
One of the things I do is group coaching, and someone can come in with any concern for group coaching, because what we look at is we use the coach's wheel of life and look at 8 areas of their life and whether those are in balance, how satisfied they are, that type of thing. But then we also look at change readiness, and I think that's important, and I'm sure Andrea uses that too. Is someone just thinking about a change? Have they actually started making preparations? Are they ready to take action? Because often people jump into action and then they don't know why they're not successful, and it's because they didn't do the preparation phase. However, sometimes they're also at what's called the contemplation phase, which is thinking, and some people never get past thinking about it. So those are two areas where people can get caught up and not make progress.
Anyone else?
I would agree, just to build on what Patsy said, mm-hmm. call that personal foundation work, being really clear with yourself about what you want to do and how ready you are. And I kind of call it your risk factor. To your point, maybe a transition is in a whole new career. Maybe it is kind of downsizing your career or saying, I'm just going to do this piece of it, but I'm going to add this piece in it. And I have found in this economy that a strategy a lot of women and men are using are creating more than one revenue stream and making sure that both of those revenue streams supply their base but also give them great satisfaction.
Okay, well, we're just about out of time. Betsy, any parting thoughts?
I think transition is always a great opportunity, and it's best done with a community of other women. So I encourage everyone to connect with the Transition Network to help you in your next transition.
Okay, and we'll have the link to the transitionnetwork.org on our WOSU.org/allsides. I'd like to thank my guest today. Patsy Deerhake, thank you for being with us.
It's been wonderful. Thanks.
And Andrea Dowding, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
It's nice to meet you.
You too.
And also Betsy Worley, Executive Director of the Transition Network. Thanks for being here today.
It's been a great pleasure. Thanks.
Okay, that's all the time we have. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820. NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from The Other Paper, Columbus's news and entertainment weekly, on newsstands every Thursday and online at theotherpaper.com.